Hello, my name is Dave Emery. This is Side 2, For the Record program number 750, Surveying the Scene with Daniel Hopsicker. This is being recorded on May 4th of the year 2013. Once again, it is my pleasure and it is my privilege to bring back to our airwaves Daniel Hopsicker, the heroic investigative journalist and author and editor of the Mad Cow Morning News, what I call the herd shot round the world. Daniel, welcome back.
Good to be with you.
All righty. Now, you have done a whole bunch of, you've done a number of very incisive posts about the Boston bombing. And to an extent, I guess one could say that Uncle Sam has been eclipsed by Uncle Ruslan. Tell us about Uncle Ruslan, who he is, and why don't we begin by his work for the Agency for International Development.
Well, he was the guy who came out the day of the bombing, the day after, when there were like dozens of reporters camped out on his lawn when the names of the bombers first came out, and he came out and denounced them as terrorists, basically, and he was applauded for that. He didn't, maybe he should have been. But part of that was certainly heartfelt on his part, but he, as Shakespeare said, he protested too much. Calling for the murder of your two nephews, even if they've done something heinous, is not the same as apologizing for it. And there was a certain personal tinge to what he talked about that I've later come to realize is his feeling betrayed and double-crossed, which is probably exactly what happened. At any rate, I noticed that there was something off about him. Okay, there was something Rudy Deckers-like about him. Partially it was the way the media just immediately took to him. Made you question, really, what's going on here? And then partly it was what he said. Although he got congratulations from everyone and certainly from me too, for condemning the terrorist attack. He also said things that didn't make sense. He said it had nothing to do with Islam, it had nothing to do with Chechnya, it had nothing to do with Kazakhstan, it had nothing to do with anything except his two nephews being losers. And then he began to talk about who he thought, because the question was, were these guys acting alone? And the answer, I believe, clearly is no, and clearly would have to be no, just because of the complexity of the bombs they put together. I mean, it's not completely out of the question that they could have been acting alone, but more than likely they had help, and were motivated by foreign sources, and I think clearly that's indicated today. But he was like totally against that. It had nothing to do with any of that, and he was blaming it on an Armenian fellow who had converted to Islam and then pressed his views onto the willing brains of the two brothers. They were brainwashed, he said, and the media just ate it up. There was not a day that went by in the 2 weeks between the time these bombers were identified and today that there was not a story about the FBI closing in on the mysterious Misha, the Armenian exorcist who talked to demons.
Daniel, I've spoken to a few demons myself, but they were all flesh and blood and walking around on two legs. We'll leave that for perhaps another
discussion. But that's what he was talking about.
I know.
That's how he described this man. And with a straight face, it was regurgitated, everywhere. I mean, from the New York Times to the New Yorker, to USA Today, to NBC. I mean, there was not a media outlet that wasn't covering the search for an exorcist who talked to demons who had manipulated the boys.
Daniel,
because of course the question is, what other involvement was there? Who recruited these fellows? Well, you know, if your uncle was married, and this I found this out. This is if your uncle was married to the daughter of a top CIA official, and then after a close examination, you discovered that the uncle has been working for American intelligence for the last 21 years. And you're looking for who recruited these two accused bombers. You know, that's where you'd want to look. But you don't hear anybody talking about investigating or calling in for questioning Uncle Ruslan Sarny, who changed his name, by the way.
Yeah. Now, one of the things, Daniel, that is so important about the work...
Isn't that amazing? Go ahead.
Yeah, but the work that you have done...
The guy that condemned the bombers and you know, was trying to point us all towards an Armenian exorcist has been working for the CIA for 22 years.
Well, let's start by putting together the pieces of this particular puzzle. His employment history... He worked for the Agency for International Development, or AID. Tell us about that.
Well, I'm no expert on USAID, but it appears they do two things. They build schools overseas, and they provide cover for CIA assets. And if you look, if you do a search on USAID on the Internet or on news sources, you'll find stories about both.
Sure.
They were just Russia kicked USAID out last year. Bolivia kicked them out yesterday. So I am not making up, you know, the idea that USAID provides cover.
There is indeed, Daniel, a great deal of documentation about USAID having been used for what the intelligence community refers to as inserts. It was as a cover for intelligence activity. One of the names that crops up, Daniel, one of the names that you unearthed in connection with Uncle Ruslan is a name that should ring only and very grimly too familiar to our audience. Tell us about Hal Burton.
His work history is he worked for USAID in Kazakhstan between 92 and 94. And then he has worked, I just discovered the other day, in an article by Bloomsburg Business Review, he's worked for USAID since 2008 till today. So, his business career is bracketed by USAID, which means that the middle part is very likely intelligence related too, and sure enough, he worked for Halliburton, two Halliburton controlled oil companies, was recruited to a third by the CEO who at that time had been a 20-year employee of Halliburton who had risen to be the Halliburton official in charge of countries. Okay, he was in charge of Algeria, for example, for Halliburton. He was a relatively top official, left to take over a tiny little oil startup in Kazakhstan, and then recruited Ruslan Sarny, and then it went bankrupt a couple years later. But there's the Halliburton connection. But the guy that he left after a year, and the guy that took over was also kind of a lifetime employee of a company. But the company he was a lifetime employee of was a Turkish construction company that Bell Edmonds has written a lot about.
Tell us more about that company, if you
would.
Well,
you would have to ask her, but apparently, again, I was always down here looking at the drug trafficking associated with 9/11, And I was always interested in what she was talking about up there, which is drug trafficking associated with 9/11, okay? But she was seeing it through, she was touching the elephant in a completely different part of its body than I was down here. But there's a couple things that this guy, Uncle Ruslan, is connected to that's right up her alley, including he was married to the daughter of a top CIA official named Graham Fuller. And Graham Fuller, when we all remember that her case was taken to the Supreme Court, and she was muzzled.
I mean, the who being Sibel Edmonds.
Correct.
Yes.
Under some doctrine of state secrets. And and I read her book recently, and I recommend it to everyone out there. She's a pretty damn courageous individual.
Her name, by the way, for people who are not familiar with her, is Sibel, first name S-I-B-E-L, last name E-D-M-O-N-D-S, as in Sam.
So after all of that died down, she got back as best she could by publishing on one of her websites, with no explanation, 21 pictures, and she called it the State Secrets Gallery. And one was able to quickly figure out that these were 21 individuals. He had come across massive corruption. She had come across FBI investigations into people with top security clearances, and it was all hushed up. And the people were never prosecuted. And so she publishes this gallery of 21 individuals, and one of the people in the gallery was identified as being this guy I had never heard of before named Graham Fuller, who was a top CIA. Under Reagan, he was like the number two or three man in the CIA. So Uncle Ruslan was married to this guy's daughter. Well, that's completely coincidental, according to Graham Fuller, who gave an interview to a sympathetic journalist after that story broke. I was surprised at that, by the way. I mean, what I was able to discover, and I was able to apparently, you know, I didn't break it, but apparently it broke big enough so he had to deny it. So he admitted that his daughter had been married to this guy, Uncle Ruslan. But of course, it was ridiculous to think that meant this guy had anything to do with the CIA, because he had left the CIA before the two of them got married. And then, of course, even if he hadn't, you know, it was just his daughter, and that wouldn't matter. Then I discovered, and he hasn't denied this or said anything about it, that he and Ruslan had incorporated a company together called the Congress of Chechen International Organizations. And the address that they incorporated it at was his home, Graham Fuller's home. And that shell company or you know, propaganda front or whatever it was being used as recently as a half dozen years ago, when they had a conference they were sponsoring, I think in Georgia. I've got the newspaper clip here somewhere, and for some reason it didn't turn out. So Graham Fuller's address was being used by a company incorporated by Uncle Ruslan Sarny long after Ruslan and Graham Fuller's daughter had divorced. And the most interesting about it, so see, we got a guy who's been accused obliquely of selling U.S. secrets to the highest bidder. But if he didn't have, if he had retired from the CIA and done, say, what most guys do, what my dad did, which is to move to Florida, you know, begin buying, you know, lime green matching sweater slack combinations in golfing. That might have been one thing, but he's written a dozen books, and they all have the name Islam in the title. Political Islam, this Islam, that Islam. I mean, I've got a list of them. They're off of his website, GrahamFuller.com. And so he's obviously been intimately involved with U.S. policy in the former stance, in the ring of countries on the southern rim of Russia that gained independence and have a lot of goddamn oil.
Yep, and again, Halliburton is a major player on the fossil fuels scene and deeply involved in the fossil fuels quest, shall we say, in former Soviet republics. And I would submit that some of the Chechen guerrillas or jihadis are being supported by elements of our own intelligence system because they want to get their hands on the fossil fuel-rich areas and oil-rich areas with largely Muslim populations in Russia.
And I would agree with you. I mean, this is an opinion now. I like sticking to what I discovered. You know, I got on my website. You can see the incorporation documents. You can see the things proving the marriage. Blah 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 blah. You know, but
By the way, just very briefly, Dan, in for the record number 710, I have some discussion of the fact that basically we're playing a double game, even as jihadis are conducting a very real war against the U.S., rather like World War II. There are elements of our corporate structure that are actively bankrolling and protecting and supporting that struggle, by that fight, because they want to get their hands on the goodies. It is a Janus-faced entity. So there is some pretty good documentation on that. Go ahead.
And then you realize that Russia had warned the U.S. government about the older of the two brothers in March of 2010.
Yep.
And in all the news stories that you read, they talk about him going over for the first 6 months of 2012. Now, if he had gone over to Russia for the first 6 months of 2012, and then Russia, late in 2012, had warned the U.S. government that this guy was a likely terrorist, that would make sense. But they're warning the U.S. that this guy's a likely terrorist in 2010. Now, a Russian newspaper who's who the authenticity I can't completely vouch for, it's Investia, that was one of the big ones that you used to know about, has discovered that the older two brothers attended a foundation-sponsored conference in Georgia in 2010, and the foundation that sponsored it is a neocon foundation on whose board sits Zbigniew Brzezinski. Now, if you remember, after 9/11, Brzezinski was the architect, had been the architect of the original architect of our support for Islamic fundamentalists in Afghanistan, in order to stick a thumb in the Russian bear's eye.
And also, Daniel, very quickly, the aforementioned Graham Fuller was at one point CIA station chief in Kabul, Afghanistan.
There you go. So after 9/11. Somebody went and asked Zbigniew Brzezinski, because it was clear at that point that 9/11 is what intelligence in terms is known as blowback, you know, that our support for Islamic fundamentalists in Afghanistan in order to tweak the Russians had eventually turned around and bitten us in the butt, when a man we had supported, Osama bin Laden, turned on us and attacked us. So when he was asked about, I mean, if he had read it, that he said no. He said basically 3,000 lives were nothing compared with bringing down the Russian Empire. So what's going on? We only lost three people. I mean, I shouldn't say only. You know what? It's a damn. I mean, it breaks your heart if you know to anyone that watched the limbs laying all over the street in Boston. A couple hundred people maimed for life. I mean, and, you know, long after you and I have forgotten this even happened, you know, there's going to be people limping around whose lives have been changed forever. But it's obviously blowback. Again, blowback. I mean, we've seen this movie before. And now, you know, at the end of every South Park episode, one of the kids goes, "Today I learned," and I guess they even do that on Reddit now, TIL, "Today I learned." It always puzzled me why Putin was so ferociously, biting us over the last couple of years. I mean, I never paid attention to it, but I never understood it. You know, how could he dare, like, you know, be throwing USAID out of Russia, and how could he dare, you know, stop poor childless couples from the U.S. from adopting kids over there? It just looked pretty heartless. But, you know, today I realize that we've been supporting it would be as if the Russians were shipping Kalashnikovs to terrorists in Ciudad Juarez. That's what we've been doing to Russia.
Yes, Daniel, a couple of points very quickly. These are points of information that I have put in various posts that are on my website in the news and supplemental section. First of all, Boston is one of the epicenters of the Chechen guerrilla support effort. And the organization, this from an article in Foreign Policy magazine, is an organization now called CARE, not to be confused with the United Nations agency of the same name. It was formerly, however, Al-Kifa. That was the milieu, my favorite word, involved with supporting the aforementioned Afghan Mujahideen. It also was deeply implicated in the milieu surrounding the first World Trade Center attack in 1993 and the aborted plot to blow up some national monuments. And some of the employees of that organization also worked for PTEC, the software company that developed the threat assessment software architecture for the Air Force, NORAD, and many of the other federal agencies involved with investigating or theoretically preventing September 11th. Furthermore, PTEC has as one of its directors a guy named Yaqub Mirza. He set up all of the front organizations that were used for funding Al-Qaeda, Hamas, and Palestinian Islamic Jihad. And when the government busted those institutions and individuals on March 20th of 2004, Yaqub Mirza, who is a business partner with the Kaiser family, remained completely untouched. Also, the mosque at which one of the Chania brothers, maybe both of them, certainly the elder, attended in the Boston area, was basically founded or presided over by a guy named Abdurrahman Alamoudi, a convicted terrorist who was a protege and close associate of Grover Norquist, Mr. K Street lobbyist, and arguably the most important Republican lobbyist in the country. And I will also note very quickly, and again, I don't want to steal your thunder here, but just by way of making some other points. Graham Fuller was the author of a very important paper that the New York Times, among others, have speculated led directly to the Iran-Contra affair. Graham Fuller also was one of the intelligence officials who appears to have been pushing for what I call the turn to the Muslim Brotherhood, which we have now affiliated ourselves with, and that led directly to the Arab Spring. He also, that is to say Graham Fuller, has also walked point in dismissing the notion that the agency, meaning the CIA, could have had anything to do with an insidious Islamist cult called Fethullah Gulen, which in many ways controls Turkey right now, and which the FBI has been actively investigating. The point being that aside from the Armenian exorcist and all of this nonsense that the mainstream media have been touching on, when you begin to pull the camera back, some very powerful elements come into view. I would caution listeners against an overly simplistic analysis of this. Go ahead. I just wanted to put that in very, very quickly.
Not at all. Somebody sent me a link the other day that said that he had written a letter that got that Turkish cult guy admitted into the U.S.
Oh, really? Fethullah Gulen. It's interesting. Yeah. In Turkey, go ahead.
Well, there are only 200 Chechens that have been allowed into the U.S. on the grounds of political asylum. This family took like half dozen of those slots. It didn't happen by accident.
Of course not. I also would caution against, again, the oversimplification of this. What I think is going on here is that, once again, we have been playing ball with some very nasty elements, using them for a very cynical purpose, and lo and behold, they turned around and bit us. And it's not, in certain respects, unlike World War II, where the fascist powers were seen sort of as the global equivalent of the coal and iron police, certainly as the hitmen against the former Soviet Union. And when they turned around and attacked us, that was seen by the people on Wall Street and associated elements as collateral damage. They didn't particularly care about all the soldiers and sailors and airmen we lost. They actually were glad to get the additional contracts, but they are above the fray, and so they really don't care, and they will take steps to cover this up.
The really shocking thing here in all of this is that what we've been talking about, should have been being discussed and headlined in newspapers across the country for the past 2 weeks. When I got into investigating Barry Seal a dozen years ago now, if you'd have told me, you could have told me, rather, that little green man stood behind Bill Clinton in the Oval Office and told him what to do, and I would not have been as shocked as I was when I found out that we don't have a free press here anymore. That things that are obviously immediately germane to something that shocked everybody just 2 weeks ago are not being reported on.
Indeed. Well, that in a way, Daniel, that sort of tracks back to the early part of our discussion about Anthony Summers. And it also serves as something of a transition, because we are almost out of time on this side.
Well, that's good, because I don't have anything else to say to you, dude. I'm done.
you said a lot, and I
got to go find out some new stuff.
Okay, well, there certainly is no shortage of that. But again, the reason why it is important that people like you do what you do, and at the risk of seeming a trifle self-righteous or conceited, in which case I will apologize in advance, why it is important for us, for me, to do what I do, is because there is a limited free press in this country. It's just that it's very small. And those of us who labor in the trenches do not have the benefit of the major sounding boards that other media voices do. Tell us about where listeners can get your books and about your website.
Well, mattkalprod.com. They can get anything they want there, read anything they want. And let me end on a positive note, okay?
Sure.
Because
we're almost out of time.
That's fine. As messed up as things are that we've been talking about here in our country, at least they don't kill you here. And doing what I do in almost any other country in the world, I'd have been dead a half dozen years ago.
Indeed.
So hurrah for that.
Yes, indeed. Let us be thankful for the gift of poverty.
There you go.
Alrighty. We have been visiting with Daniel Hopsicker, the author of Barry and the Boys, Welcome to Terrorland, and the editor of the Mad Cow Morning News, The Herd Shot Round the World. This concludes Side 2 of For the Record program number 750, Surveying the Scene with Daniel Hopsicker. This is being recorded on May 4th of the year 2013. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.